141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers come from behind to beat Livingston, but it comes at a cost as Ryan Kent limbs off injured. Celtic continue to set the pace with a victory at Hamilton before heading to Rennes. And Hearts fans protest outside Tynecastle, but Craig Levein says he's not fearing for his job. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
And now it's all about Europe. Staying in as long as possible instead of trying to get out. But Celtic and Rangers have to make sure the Europa League is a bonus and not a burden. They're in with some tasty company from Portugal, Italy, Holland and France. It's a big ask when you're involved in a fight to the death for the title in your own backyard at the same time. But it could be worse, Alec. You could be Hibs or Hearts.
Yeah, I enjoyed the football at the weekend. Gone 3 points both for both the Old Firm. Not great performances. Pressures continue to mount on Levein and Heckenbottom after a disappointing weekend for them. Motherwell continue to impress under Stephen Robinson. And, come on up, back-to-back wins. Plenty to discuss.
Yeah, plenty to discuss indeed. So let's hear it from, you. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch right now. Tell us what was your biggest talking point from the weekend. We are on Twitter, at Clyde SSB. It's Monday night. You know what that means. Your result of the weekend, please, Hugh Keevans.
My result of the weekend is Ayr United 2, Dundee United 0. Robbie Nielsen, the Dundee United manager, gets the first Craig Levein award for... Don't say that. He did say that Dundee United players were better coached than Ayr United players. Now look what happened, Alec.
Yeah, your result of the weekend?
Yes, I'm going for Ross County to score in the dying seconds. I think it was an important 3 points. I think they'll be kind of going neck and neck with teams like Hamilton and St Mirren. So... Ross County for me.
And your goal of the weekend, Mr. Keevans?
For me, undoubtedly, Sherwin Seedorf for Motherwell at Tynecastle. The Hearts goalkeeper was still diving for the ball when it was behind him and in the net anyway.
He's diving on the way back out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me it was Rangers goal, Brandon Barker's. I thought it was a really well constructed goal. I thought the ball.
So that's more about the build up rather than the strike.
Yeah, absolutely. I take Hugh's point. I think Seedorf's individual, but in terms of a team goal, the ball up to Morelos, round the corner to Ojo. The weighted pass and the finish from Brandon Barker to come in and then rifle into the top corner was impressive.
I mean, look at that. We're getting different types of goals and everything. We're getting long-range strikes. We're getting well-worked team goals. You two have got it all covered. Let's hear from you, though. What was your takeaway from the weekend? 0141 951 1025. The later of the two big games from a Glasgow perspective was at Ibrox. Let's start there. Steven Gerrard says he challenged a few of his match winners to go out and change the game when they went in 0-0 at half time against Livingston. He says they did deserve the win, acknowledges they weren't at their best, and he was happy with the contribution of Brandon Barker after replacing the injured Ryan Kent.
We expected Livingston to come, big physical team, be organised, difficult to break down. I think, you know, we were the team in the first half trying to find the breakthrough. I think we created a few decent half chances. We hit the crossbar, but you're hoping one of them opportunities goes in and then the game completely changes. So at half time, I put it on a few of my match winners and said, come on, we've got 45 minutes to win a game. That's your challenge. Unfortunately, we took another setback. So having not got the early goal and conceding the penalty, the challenge become even more difficult and complicated. But I think that provoked us into our best. I think from going a goal down, I thought we were excellent and we looked really dangerous, could have scored a few more. But over the course of the 90 minutes, we certainly deserved to win. But we weren't at our best.
Is that real positive that Brandon Barker came on and managed to bag a goal, especially if Ryan's going to be out in Jordan as well?
Yeah, the plan was... Brandon's been working ever so hard to get himself match fit and 100%. He's very close to that. The plan was to play Ryan for 60 and then bring Brandon on for the last 30, 35 minutes. But the goal on his home debut and his performance, I think, will do his confidence the world of good. I think he'll only get better and better with games and fitness. But you can see, you know, he's a clever player. He can open the door. He took his goal really well, so credit to him.
Rangers fans, an injury to Ryan Kent. Such fanfare about his return. It was a second debut for the club and then he limps off injured. He's going to be out for a few weeks. What do you make of that? Is Brandon Barker the replacement? Did he show enough at the weekend to suggest that he can come in and replace Ryan Kent? 0141 951 1025. Hugh, if you think back to the reaction on Saturday's show, Celtic fans and Rangers fans reacted very similarly. As in, The performance wasn't the best, but it was 3 points, and that's the priority. They were saying similar things.
In the season when a draw is a disaster and a defeat is a catastrophe, that's the way it's going to be. Fair play to Rangers, because you sign a player for £7 million and he doesn't last until half time on his debut. You then look down the barrel after Stephen Lawless makes it 1-0 for Livy. Back-to-back defeats at Ibrox, one of them a game against Celtic. That would have been a disaster for the Rangers fans. So fair play to them. They looked down the barrel. Steven Gerrard says he put it on some, and they responded because they gave him 3 goals and 3 points.
I think it was the speed in which they responded to. Obviously, I think they scored quite sharpest. Livy, I think it was 47 minutes. And within 7 or 8 minutes, Rangers had responded. And I think I said at the weekend the importance of James Tavernier. You know, we've seen it a few weeks ago when he was playing against Kilmarnock. They went 1-1 in the 80th minute. He was the guy who was driving them forward, and it was similar again at the weekend. His delivery into the box is excellent. I think if you look at actually deliveries, Gordon, you have to say that he has one of the best deliveries in the league. Gets a goal, the assist for the second goal for Morelos. So I think it was an important win for Steven Gerrard. As I said, I was at the game a year ago at this time when Livingston beat them, all being it was away. It's important to continue to win these type of games.
The number you need to get in touch tonight is 0141 951 1025. We are as well on Twitter, as always, at Clyde SSB. Let's get stuck in with Martin, who's first up. He's a Rangers fan from Falkirk. How are you tonight, Martin?
I'm all right, gentlemen, how are yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks, Martin. What did you make of that at the weekend?
I was happy. I mean, it was sloppy at times, but for me, this is a sign of progression, because last year this was a result that we would have drawn. We were struggling to break teams down last year when they put so many behind the ball, and this year we seem to be getting over the line. I mean, maybe, you know, not very nice to watch at times, but the fact that there's 3 points are in the bag and we move on to the next game. I know it was his first game back, but I wasn't that impressed with Ryan Kent. He kept losing the ball. A couple of drives, he was trying to make the ball would go behind him and he was on ahead of it. And I thought that maybe that's just too critical in his first game back, but I would have expected a bit more from him, considering how much we paid for him. Another point I wanted to make was to ask Hugh.
Yeah.
You remember over the weekend, I think you may have mentioned it the weekend prior, about Rangers saying if Rangers don't win the league this season, that Steven Gerrard would be sacked. Do you stand by that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, can I put a hypothetical situation to you?
Sure.
Yeah. If Rangers don't win the league, hypothetically don't win the league this season, do you think it would not be better to keep a manager on board who is showing signs of progression rather than losing them and having a fresh manager with fresh ideas, with a fresh new team and potentially fresh new players, considering we've only got one season to stop Celtic then? Do you think that's a better or worse of two evils?
See, what we're doing here, Martin, is you're having your opinion and I am having mine. My thinking is simply this: if Steven Gerrard couldn't stop 8, and if he doesn't stop 9, do you give him third time lucky? I don't think you do.
Yeah, I would. If the sign of progression, I would, rather than a fresh new manager who we don't know his experience, who have his own new staff, who have new players coming in, and only having one season to do that job. I think it would be better to keep that manager on than a fresh one.
You see, Martin, I would never say your opinion's wrong and mine is right. I am simply giving you my opinion, and I respect yours, and I can see the merit in your opinion. I just think that if it were to be the case that Celtic won 9 in a row, and let's imagine that the gap at the end of the season is fairly substantial, if it was 9 points again as it was at the end of last season, I don't think you would get a unanimous verdict from the Rangers supporters to say, let's give them a third chance.
Whilst we're doing hypotheticals, that might all have been offset by cup wins or lack of cup
Absolutely.
Wins. But anyway, there's a bit of time before we worry about that sort of stuff. Martin kicked us off, Alex, by talking about Rangers being sloppy. Maybe expected a bit more from Ryan Kent, but at the same time, acknowledging, like many people, 3 points is the priority.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing, Gordon. And when you look at Celtic on the day and you actually look at Rangers, they're both of them were sloppy. They weren't at their sharp best. I think Steven Gerrard was probably more under pressure to get that result on the back of the disappointment of the Old Firm result. It's interesting because all the talk prior to the game was, we've had 2 weeks to reflect on this. You expected Rangers to come out the traps and never quite worked like that. You know, I know they hit the bar and had one or two opportunities throughout that first half, But I was saying in the show on Saturday, the longer this went on, we always felt as if, oh, we'll get a bit of rumbling, and that was the case at half time. However, as I said earlier on, I think the goal from Livingston kick-started the Rangers players, and they responded in the right manner and managed to get that proper result.
This debate over, you know, points versus performance, invariably it's both, because let's be honest, you can actually perform badly every single week and win the league as long as you get the 3 points. Yes. Yeah. However, does there become a point where Rangers fans like Martin will want another really convincing performance? So the Hibs game would be the standout one. That would be the complete dominant performance in the league this season. Have there been any others? Probably
not,
not. But then granted, a couple have been away and so on. But you can see where people are coming from. You always want better, and you would always be looking to see, okay, when is the next convincing dominant performance that we're going to get?
Yeah, well, I think as you rightly said, Gordon, but if you're winning 3-1 at home, even though it's not great, you know, you would take that all day, yep, every day. And I think that's the important thing. They've got St Johnstone at the weekend. They've got Livingston away again in the cup, which is going to be a tricky affair. But see, as long as Rangers continue to win, and they'll be trying to grow as well, I think one of the key things, I think the importance of Brandon Barker coming in at this present time and scoring, the importance of that, Gordon, is because see, with Kent and Jones being injured, you know, you're starting to run out of options offensively.
I think you can do both, Gordon. I think you can acknowledge the incredible importance of 3 points, and at the same time, you're perfectly entitled to analyse the performance. You acknowledge that the 3 points is the most important thing, but you are entitled to analyse it and say, well, wasn't the best, was it?
Yeah.
Martin, you mentioned Ryan Kent. It was obviously his first game. He's not played a lot of football, and now he's injured. Did you see enough from Brandon Barker to suggest that he could fill the void, or is that now an area of concern with Kent and Jones both out?
No, I don't think it's a massive area of concern. We've got we have put Jake Case down loan, and he's been doing quite well as far as I'm aware. Down south. No, I think we've got plenty of players in that area we could rotate around to make do without Kent for now. Carrying Kent was a morale booster, thinking, yes, we've got him and this is going to be great. But we are top heavy in those kind of departments, so no, I'm not that worried. Brandon Barker did look sharp and pacey. He's a great goal. As I said, it was a great build up, but his goal was actually quite good, well struck. No, I'm not worried about that side of things.
Yeah, he's got a hamstring injury, unfortunately. It's a blow for Ryan, blow for me, blow for all the supporters. You know, he's trained well all week and looked ready to go. Unfortunately, these things happen in football, but yeah, that's the only disappointing thing to come out of today, really, is the injury to Ryan. But we'll assess it in the coming days, but I predict he'll be missing for at least a few weeks. Hamstrings are not days, unfortunately. They normally take a minimum of a couple of weeks. But it's been a tough pre-season for him. You know, he's wanted to get out and he's had to wait till the final day, so emotionally he's probably been all over the place, and then all of a sudden he gets his move. He's been in a good place. You know, maybe a couple of weeks, just settle down and realise that what's gone on in his life in the last 4 to 6 weeks, and we'll get him back fit and stronger, and I'm sure he'll be a big help over the course of the season.
Martin and Falkirk, thank you very much for the call. Alex, the couple of weeks diagnosis at the moment, that would in all likelihood rule Ryan Kent out of, well, it will rule him out of the Feyenoord game. It probably rules him out of the Young Boys game by the time that comes around as well. Maybe then you're looking at Porto, so you could be halfway through the group stage, and you maybe haven't been able to call on the guy who was signed for, ultimately for the big games. How big a blow is that going to be?
Yeah, it's massively disappointing. I think Martin hit the nail on the head there, Gordon, when he was saying earlier on that he didn't look his sharp self. But when you actually take it back to when he last played, I think it was about the 15th of May last year.
It was a Kilmarnock game for Rangers, wasn't it? Last game of the season.
So you're going back several months to try and get him into an ideal shape going into that game. And I think that was the idea, to play him for a particular amount of minutes and then bring on Brandon Barker. But unfortunately, he's pulled his hamstring. Listen, you have to deal with these things. You have a big squad. Brandon Barker's came here, you know, to make an impact, Gordon, and this gives him a perfect opportunity to do that.
John's also a Rangers fan on the line. What did you make of the weekend's performance, John?
Hi, how you doing? All right, Alex. Hi, good. Gordon.
Hello.
It was obviously just what the call in front of me to say there, just a wee bit kind of, I just thought that kind of, there was a few loose passes, early doors, and things weren't working out. Obviously, I think the wake-up calls was when Livingston scored, and I think at the end of the day, I mean, it was 3-1. It could have been 4 or 5, to be honest with you. But my main point was, sure, just before I make my point, I was on a Friday night, and I'll say it again, I spoke to somebody Saturday down the stairs after the game, and they obviously heard the call, somebody for Rangers heard the call, and Friday night, just to let you know, and I'll say it again, win, lose or draw against Celtic, we were signing Ryan Kent. I spoke to him Friday night about it. So just to let you know, Rangers were signing Ryan Kent. It wasn't a panic buy. We were signing Ryan Kent. I said to him Friday night, he disagreed with me. I'm going to say it again. Win, lose or draw against Celtic, we were signing Ryan Kent. Obviously, I want to make a point. There was a point, I came back to the game on Saturday, and there was a Celtic fan that Alec was, had a wee, the two of them had a wee bit of a ding-dong about Edward and Morelos. And then shoe butted in, as he always does. He says, well, what will they? Well, they were talking about the goals situation. And shoe butted in and says, we'll talk about the monetary level. And shoe said that Edward was worth 20 million plus, and Alfred Morelos was worth nowhere near that. So, shoe, I would like to ask you tonight, what do you think Morelos is worth? I think he's worth between 12 and 15 million.
Well,
it's
first
not,
of all,
not quite what you said, but.
No, it's not what I said at all. I said that. Edward would go for 20 million plus and that Morelos wouldn't. That's what I said in summary.
You didn't say it was nowhere near as much,
no,
did you?
No. So you'll need to go back to the man that you speak to inside Ibrox and tell him what I really said.
We'll go back to Ryan Kent.
I'm just intrigued that you go inside Ibrox to speak to somebody within the club and Clipe. But anyway, I stand by what I said. It's my personal take on the situation. I have no factual information. Once again, I'm only telling you what I think. Now, we'll go back to Morelos. I think that Edward could fetch, in the fullness of time, 20 million plus. Celtic having paid 9 million to get him in the first place. And he's a much, much better player now. I think Morelos would fetch half that.
So 12 to 15 might not be too far off your summation as well. 12, say?
Well, if Morelos...
Because that's what you said, John, didn't it?
If Edward goes for 20 plus and Morelos goes for half that, then yeah.
I said between 12 and 15, sure. Just to make something right. I come to the east end of Glasgow. I don't Clipe. Okay?
We're going round in circles a wee bit on this one, I must admit, John. Getting a little bit... tiresome, but crack on with it. The valuation comment, that's fair.
Well, I think he's worth. Well, remember, Dembele was worth 40 million. What did Dembele go for?
Yeah. Whoever actually said that, though, John, in terms of this programme and stuff, because I hear that all the time. I don't actually remember people saying
Nobody
or hear
said
that,
it.
That he
Nobody
was worth 40 it. Million. Could be wrong. If someone wants to remind me, I don't mind. But anyway, I think we're going to do this all season, Alex.
Absolutely.
It's great for me because John's got his allegiances and other people have their allegiances. Some of us can just sit back and enjoy them, and they're both good, and they're both good for this league. I don't need to compare them.
I think that's one of the key things that we have to acknowledge, Hugh, that both of them are actually developing very well. Both of them are very good at what they do. And you know, because of where we live, people are always looking to try and, can I say, one's better than the other. But you have to acknowledge it, and we don't want to actually sell these guys because they're bringing a lot of value to the game.
But inevitably They will go. Yeah. I mean, if you offer that kind of money, you, whether you happen to be Celtic or Rangers, you are selling.
01419511025. That was the number John dialed. John, thank you very much for the call. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we're going to hear from Celtic boss Neil Lennon. He's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here, looking back on an incident-packed weekend in the Scottish leagues. As always, this time last week we were despairing about the national team, and just when you thought you were over it, Scotty Ballingolly tweets in to rub salt, and he says, just like clockwork, as soon as we go back to club football, the Scottish players are on fire. McLean scores against Man City, Forrest scores against Hamilton, McTominay's masterclass, and don't forget Ollie McBurney's on-off goal. It hurts every time, says Scott.
Well, maybe we do have to take into account the mentality, the temperamental problem that we might have, because for sure we started well against Russia and Belgium and then fell apart in both.
Enough of that. I don't think anyone needs to go back down that road again. Jim is on, a Rangers fan, slightly frustrated. He says, when Kent signed, Steven Gerrard said he's not ready. He plays him and then does his hamstring. And here's one for you, Alex. There's always an opposing opinion. Bob says, tell Alex Tavernier's deliveries are not excellent. It's a media myth. I'm sitting in the sandy Jardine rear. Nobody around me believes Tav should be in the team, never mind the captain. 9 out of 10 crosses hit the first defender or float 20 yards over everyone. Poor crosses, says Bob the Rangers fan.
I'll tell you what, he must add some crosses at the weekend. The couple I saw was obviously the goal, and then obviously the corner which set up Barella. So there's two right away. And when you look at his assists last year, as well as his free kicks, penalties. So he is a dead ball specialist.
That was Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. Celtic fans, what did you make of the game at Hamilton? Hamilton fans, might you have snatched something at the end? 0141 951 1025. Neil Lennon says, it's a brilliant achievement having a 100% record in the league after five games. He says his only regret against Hamilton is that they didn't score more.
3 points, very good performance in difficult conditions. Five wins out of five, which we've not done for a long time at the start of the season. Clean sheet, so that's a third out of five. So we are playing very, very well. The only tinge of regret is we didn't score more. You know, Jamesy's hit the bar. Jamesy had a fantastic game. And you can see with the pitch drying up with the wind, you know, it slowed the pitch right down. And we have to give credit to Hamilton, who, you know, set their stall out to be difficult to beat. So in terms of being maybe a spectacle, it takes two teams to make a game, but we did all the running and there was no anxiety out there today at all. Listen, you can see how difficult it is to do because we haven't done it for a decade. So that's a brilliant start to the season.
Yeah, and I suppose, Hugh, again, this depends whether you're a bigger picture type of analyst or you're focused on the 90 minutes. Because again, Celtic clearly weren't at their best. They perhaps should have scored more goals. But Neil Lennon pointing out there, now that they've won their first five league games, that's something they've not actually managed to achieve since the 2010-11 season. So even Brendan Rodgers, the invincible treble, whatever it was, none of those seasons saw Celtic win their first five league games like they have at the moment.
Yep, there's no downside to five games, five wins, 18 goals. Having said that, might as well follow it with everyone, Alec. Having upset the Rangers fans, might as well upset the Celtic ones as well. I disagree with Neil Lennon. I think it was a very good performance. I thought it was a laboured performance, particularly second half. Apart from the James Forrest goal and James Forrest rattling the crossbar, I don't remember any other chances. So I thought that maybe it's, as Neil said, difficult conditions, the concrete flooring that you have to play on. I'm quite sure that Celtic will be all the better for being on their own fine grass pitch next Sunday when they play Kilmarnock. But for me, it was a laboured performance. However, no downside to 5 played, 5-1.
Yeah, you have to commend them on 5 league wins, when you say 9 or 10 years ago. So from that point of view, I think you have to say well done. I agree with you totally. I didn't think it was a good performance at all. Ideally, the 3 points is all you really want. Oh. There's been many a hiccup on an AstroTurf pitch, but they got the job done, but it wasn't a classic.
01419511025. Alex is in Hillington. Hi, Alex.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? You okay?
Not too bad at all. What's your point tonight?
I've got 2 points. First one is about start of the season. I'm a Celtic fan. And obviously, apart from maybe 20 minutes at Motherwell in the second half against Cluj, I'm really impressed with Lennon at the start of the year. I was one of the ones that didn't want him to come back as manager, right? No, that I don't love Neil Lennon, but everything he's done before as manager and player. But I see the team, when Brendan Rodgers was there the first 2 years, the football was brilliant, the treble, we've done 8-7 trophies they won. But I think the football's much quicker now. When you play in the SPL, like the Motherwell game under Brendan, we'd have kept the ball at 2-1, maybe 3-1. I can see this team looking for more goals and things like that. What do you think about that? That's my first point.
Yeah, I think the invincible season when Brendan Rodgers took over at Celtic, I think that was football of the very highest order. But by the time he left, some people, not all, were, you know, a little bored with the tippy-tappy nature of it all. And they do appreciate Neil Lennon's style of football, I think. So I agree with you.
Listen, I think he's actually trying.
Sorry?
Sorry, Alex, I was just about to say, it's just two totally different kind of styles altogether. It's contrasting. Neil Lennon's a bit more up and at him, get the ball into the box a lot quicker, whereas Brendan is a lot more possession based. It's just two different ways. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you manage to get results and trophies, no one will, no care.
On Saturday, it dried up a bit towards the end, and that's what's giving people like Hugh the overwhelming sense that the performance wasn't great. If you go back to the first half, Alex, they managed to cut Hamilton open time and time again. It was maybe the
Quality of the final ball.
Yeah, like I say, that Owen Fawn Williams didn't have a great deal to do.
Yeah.
But Celtic were at the byline numerous times. Bolingoli seemed to have space. El Yunusi seemed to have space. And I guess credit goes to Hamilton for stopping that later in the game.
Yeah, I think from Brian Ray's point of view, he would have been disappointed to concede so early, Gordon, because he would have wanted to have worked away into the game and trying to get a lot of confidence from that. They just really overloaded it. They went a 5-4-1, which basically meant within the confines of that, the width of that box, it just became over congested. And it was very difficult for Celtic to kind of carve anything open. But in terms of possession, we had a start after about 15-20 minutes. They had 80% of the ball. And we were stood here saying, listen, it was going to be 3 or 4 because we felt as if they had the quality to do that. But you have to give Hamilton credit. And eventually the game just became stuffy.
Alex?
The second point was that we were talking about Morelos and Edward, right? Now, nobody knows what any player's going to go for, right? It goes about the selling point, what the clubs are willing to pay, right? Now, the reason, I'm not saying Morelos isn't good and he scores goals, right? But the difference for me is, when you look at Edward's goals, they've came against Rangers, they've came in Europe, they came in the big occasion. Now, when teams are looking to buy players, right, it comes to European competition, Celtic Rangers games, cup finals, right? Edward single-handedly won the treble. See, if that was a couple of weeks ago, he would never have been dropped for Bio or Griffiths at Ibrox, whereas Gerrard went for Defoe instead of Morelos. But it comes to the really big crunch games, I would count on Edward any time.
Two things will never happen in this programme. A Rangers fan will never phone in and say Edward is better than Morelos, and a Celtic fan will never phone in and say Morelos is better than Edward. So it's purely and simply the Celtic fans believe in Edward and believe he's much better than Morelos, and the Rangers fans think the exact opposite. Again, in my opinion, if you want to bring it down to hard cash, I believe that Edward will one day go for big money, and I don't think Rangers will get the same level of money for Morelos when his time comes.
I suppose Alex on the line, we've got two Alex here, too many Alexes. Alex on the line, this notion that Morelos doesn't score in big games, you're right, he doesn't score against Celtic, but he does score in Europe, so surely they count as being big games.
No, I totally understand that, but right, so he scored again goals against St. Joseph's, right?
Well, League of Warsaw, right? Just to put them through.
League of Warsaw, right? Edward scored what? And Salzburg scored against Cluj. He single-handedly tried to carry Celtic through against Cluj this year. The back line let Celtic down that night. He done everything, set up two goals, scored. I just feel as if sometimes you think Edwards no in the game, but when he goes to Ibrox, he switched on the game against, what was it, Stockholm, right away, free kick. I just feel as if, I'm not saying Morelos isn't a good player and he'll go for decent money, but what I'm saying is, when you look at, we bought him for $9 million, which is a club record. But when clubs are looking at, players are looking at the big games and things like that, you know, I'm not just saying that. Obviously, he's our best striker by far at the moment, you know what I mean? I even think Bio's second choice at the moment, because I don't seem to think Griffiths is getting a look in now.
Well, Griffiths
didn't come off the bench at the weekend again.
Yeah, I know that it's going to be a long road back for Lee Griffiths, but for me, if I have the choice between Griffiths or Bio, I'm with the Griffiths every time.
Thank you very much to Alex in Hillington. He was dialed 0141 951 1025. You can do the same and speak to the guys. Let us know what is on your mind. Neil Lennon says, James Forrest, that was impressive again. Biggest threat all day, according to the manager. He was also happy with Mohamed El Yunusi's debut at Hamilton.
He was our biggest threat all day. You know, his pace and the effort to hit the bar. You know, his running power, where he pulled one back for Odson, who was unlucky, miscontrolled it. He was creating chances, he was a threat all day. And he scored another brilliant goal, his run for the goal. You know, he gets out from right inside the box, and it's a great finish, great ball in from Mo, who had a very good debut. So, Yeah, I mean, that's James. He's, I think that's 6 or 7 now he's got already, and we're, you know, mid-September. It's a great return already. Brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant.
You mentioned the ball making his debut. He must be pleased.
Yeah, he had a really good hour, you know. So, again, he hasn't had a lot of football recently. Looked fit, fresh, you know, and he looked the good player that we thought he was going to be. And obviously, as we go on, we're hoping he's going to improve as he goes along.
Alex Ray, I suppose you might expect someone who hasn't played since mid-May to fade towards the end of the game. He didn't play as regularly for Southampton last season as he would have liked either. What we saw early on from El Yunusi, would that be encouraging if you were Neil Lennon?
Yeah, without doubt. I think one of the key things, he will get better, he will get sharper, he'll be more up to speed when it comes to you know, match tempo. I think initially he made a brilliant impact, Gordon, the ball, the movement, the delivery. So you take all that into consideration. As the game kind of wore on, I think he was having less and less of an impact. But as I said, I think there'll be a lot more to come for this lad.
And I guess, Hugh, his jersey to lose for Thursday night, I think that one comes too early for Mikey Johnson. I may be wrong, that may have changed, but it looks like it's too early for Mikey Johnson. Scott Sinclair's miles out of the picture. Johnny Hayes has came on again, to be fair, at the weekend. But is that El Yunusi's slot for Thursday?
I'd be interested to know what's going through Neil Lennon's mind, because I think Thursday in France will be more about defending than attacking.
Okay. So some personnel news today, Hugh, would be that Jozo Suminovic is to undergo knee surgery. Some quotes from Neil Lennon on Celtic TV. He saw a specialist on Friday. He's been booked in for a clean out in the knee, an arthroscopy, it's called. Did you know that? I didn't.
Keyhole surgery, I believe, by any other name. And, you know, it's a problem for Celtic at the moment, because Nir Beaton, who has done a turn in central defence for Neil Lennon, he's out as well. And we'll also have to get an update on Christopher Julien and that bump on the head that he took. As I say, I think Wren on Thursday will be about defending rather than attacking. So Neil's got a lot on his plate just now.
Alex, have you ever had an arthroscopy? Sorry, I got it wrong the first time. Arthroscopy.
A clean out of my knee. No, I've had several procedures done, but I haven't had one of them, Gordon. I think you know, he's obviously got an issue there. It is a body blow for Celtic because of the beaten hamstring issue. Julien, as you said, because I think he was quoted as saying that he was knocked out at that point, and then they were trying to retract that. So
said he wasn't. The sort of latest, if you like, the clarification is that he was not knocked out. He wasn't unconscious at any stage. Neil Lennon had erroneously said that before.
Sure. So. Well, it's just listen. This was one of the key things you actually have to watch about. You know, the well being. He's come in and done very well. Julien Ayer, you know, he's the mainstay at the moment. So if Julien and I are available, I think they'll be okay in that position.
We're going to get some travel news with Amber. That's the perfect time for you to make your call. 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. We're here till 8 o'clock, which means plenty of time to get your calls in. And if you would rather tweet, you can find us at Clyde SSB. Here's one that's come in. Oh, I've just lost the name of the tweeter. My apologies. You'll know who you are. It says, yet another off day for a team playing Livingston. Thanks, Clyde SSB. Huge coincidence that teams always have off days against Livy. Unlike Rangers, Livy are big physical side. We hit the bar. We had a goal ruled out. McGregor saved well, and we had a red card. Nervous Ibrox, he says. Yes, I think all of the above is fair. Livy do deserve credit for the way they went about
but
the game, certainly early on.
Yeah, but if on the one hand you say of Rangers and Celtic, well, the 3 points, they got them. That's the important thing. Livy played well up to a point, but didn't get anything.
Yeah, I totally agree, but you have to give them credit as well. You know, what is that? They're up to Hugh, fifth in the league. I think
it was the first defeat of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when you look at the start of the season, a lot of people had them as favourites to go down, and he's recruited really well. He's got guys in there like Bartley who are willing to fight for the cause, suits their style of play, and Gary Holt's got them firing.
Yeah, I don't dispute any of that, but you are entitled, although people are trying to stop you from being entitled. You are entitled to point out that yeah, did well up to a point, but lost 3-1.
I think it's more about, rather than blaming Rangers for not being at it or blaming Celtic for not being at it, you give due credit to the reason that they weren't at it, which would be the opposition. I think that's perhaps more the point the tweeter is making. That's fair though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, without a doubt, Hugh. See, the thing is, we kind of focus mostly on Rangers and Celtic. You look at Hamilton at the weekend, lose a goal within a couple of minutes, we're saying, oh, this is going to be 3-4 yeah. 5. You have to give them credit. Livingston came out in the second half, got a goal, hit the gives a post. You know, McGregor had a good save. So you have to take all into consideration. Then you look at Rangers kicking on and getting
everyone's
3 points.
So very touchy these days.
A few more tweets coming in. Paul says, while Celtic toiled to make the point safe against Hamilton, it's not like Forster actually had a save to make, even in the poor second half. And Scott Little says, in response to Shug about Lennon's comments, I think he's just glad he got the job done. Hamilton's a tough ground, and to win right after the international break and before Europe on Thursday, he should be happy. Job done, 3 points. Move on to Rennes, says Scott.
That's undoubtedly true, but Neil Lennon said it was a very good performance. It wasn't.
Okay, 01419511025. That's the number you need on the lines. Twitter, you can get us at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Stephen, who's a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there. I was just the first caller, and Hugh was talking about if Rangers don't win the league this year, then there's every possibility that Steven Gerrard would be relieved of his duties. And it was just making a kind of comparison to a couple of years back. Hugh was, and several of the other journalists were commenting on the fact that Gordon Strachan had had two campaigns and had failed in both campaigns, and that he should be replaced. And that's worked out well for us, hasn't it? And that if you see signs of improvement and signs of progression, you know, if results aren't coming immediately, is it the best course of action to replace the manager?
Are we benefiting from hindsight with this stuff, Stephen? Because I've seen this argument quite a lot, and I think you're undeniably onto something with the record towards the end. Gordon Strachan had led us to a calendar year unbeaten, but I do still get the impression that more people now think it was a mistake to get rid of Gordon Strachan than they did at the time, because we've seen what's happened afterwards. And that you know,
you're looking at candidates who we would have been able to recruit, and you know, I can understand that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Steven Gerrard at Rangers to try and stop 9 in a row and subsequently 10 in a row. You know, those are numbers to me, but at the same time, I understand to many other Rangers fans it's much more than a number. But at the same time, from what Rangers have gone through over the last 5 years, I see real signs of improvement and plenty of signs of optimism as opposed to negativity. And having been at Hampden a week last Friday and then last Monday, I don't recall the atmosphere there being anything like it was in the times under Gordon Strachan. And at the time, you know, yeah, he was potentially under pressure for not achieving the goals and objectives that were set for him. But at the same time, you felt that we were on the right track, and that when you're on the right track, you want to build on that momentum as opposed to stopping it.
Do you think Steve Clarke's a bad idea?
I'm not going to say I think Steve Clarke's a bad idea. The replacement of Strachan and then subsequently Alex McLeish, that didn't really work out the way that the SFA wanted it to. I'd like to see Steve Clarke, and somebody talked about this last week, forget Russia, forget Belgium. You've got 3 games after the next Russia game to prepare for the playoff. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about getting a squad of 24 players or whatever it is who understand what Steve Clarke wants from them and understands what Scotland expects from them and gets them prepared for whether it's Norway or Serbia or Bulgaria, because we've got this one opportunity. But you need to see progression. I didn't agree with Steve Clarke changing a lot of the personnel from Friday to Monday. I don't know what that achieved, other than giving more players a chance to play under him. Because I think that if the same players are available, we need to find an identity, which we don't have right now.
Well, right now, he's at the experimental stage. You know, he's 4 games into the job. He's very much at the experimental stage.
Even at that, though, it wasn't that experimental,
three,
was it?
Because
Ryan Christie came on and looked bright against Russia, so therefore you sort of reward him with the start. Kenny McLean comes into the team, who had played the last time we played Belgium as well. So experimental. Well, he wasn't plucking
Stephen
players from anywhere and just throwing them in.
Stephen, the caller, is talking about he didn't expect so many changes game to game, but Steve Clarke is finding his feet in that particular job, and it's also his first experience of international management. So I do still believe that it was right to change Gordon Strachan. I think if you've had two campaigns and you don't qualify, I think it's time to try something else.
I think Stephen, I was just about to say, I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of these next three games. I think they're of paramount importance to the country, because we have to get some sort of momentum going into these two qualifiers. Otherwise, if you get into that in poor form, and as you say, you're constantly chopping and changing, I think it's important to try and get your best team. Try and get. I keep emphasising the importance of who is going to lead the line, because that gives you a kind of focal point to kind of focus on. And if he can do that, and he can get a wee bit of momentum getting into the qualifiers, because whatever way you look at it, if we do not qualify through these qualifiers, it'll be a major body blow, because we're up against opposition of similar standard.
I mean, my call was originally about, you know, the first caller and talking about Stephen Gerrard, and there are comparisons between both Scotland and, you know, where my beloved team Rangers are at, in that I find that both managers, both Stevens, are chopping and changing, and that they don't really know their number one team, and that with that constant change creates a kind of, I don't know if you would use the word disruption, but, you know, there's times where players maybe don't know crystal clear what their jobs are.
Stephen, I'm not so much discussing managerial strategy and how Stephen Gerrard goes about his business. I'm discussing where we live, and I'm thinking if, and we are talking about a hypothetical situation, if Celtic win the title and next season is about Celtic trying to win 10 in a row, I'm not sure the majority of Rangers fans go for Stephen Gerrard trying to be third time lucky. And I'm sure the board are then given food for thought. Can we risk third time lucky?
It will depend on the circumstances. That is all boiled. We can say whatever we want if Celtic won the title, and then it depends on how Rangers go between now and then. That's that's the bottom line, because
if the gap is 1 point and Rangers have won both cups, then I mean it's very different. Surely
again, cups are baubles at this particular
time.
Yes,
but they are the tangible signs of success.
But if they've not won the league, then there's a decision to be made.
I think if you see any sort of progress get in there, you go in with a bit of momentum.
At least significant progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt, Gordon, you have to see something, and you have to have belief that he's going to make that transition next year to be title winners.
Let's try and bring it back a bit to the current day, away from the dreamy hypotheticals. Stephen, what are you making of the progress of Rangers from, say, now compared to last season? We don't have too many games to compare it to. Europe has been similar. They've made it to the group stages once more. I think they had 8 points at this stage last season, and I've got 12 this season. How do you view the progress?
That alone, you know, that's a statistic that says that they are, would that be 8 points to 12? That's 50% better than where they were last year. You know, one game apart, which was very disappointing, and again, managerial strategy, kind of think he got it wrong on the day. I think we're in a much stronger position than we've been since 2011. The health of the squad is in a much stronger position, and we have these conversations, or you have your callers have the conversations about Edouard and Morelos. If you were to look at a return on investment, Celtic paid £9 million for Edouard, Rangers paid £1 million for Morelos. If Rangers get £10 million for Morelos, Celtic get £20 million from Edouard, you know, again, your percentage returns on investment. I think Rangers are in a much stronger position than they've been for a long, long time. But again, you know, the emphasis is on if Celtic have got to put the foot down and press the accelerator pedal, can they accelerate away from Rangers? Only time will tell. But I think a lot of Rangers fans would say that we're in a very healthy position compared to 4 years ago when we were playing Brechin, you know, or 5 years ago when we were playing Brechin away in the lower tier of Scottish football.
Well, don't you be picking on Mark Wilson's Brechin now, Stephen. It was a sore one for him at the weekend. He will bounce back, I'm sure. Thank you very much, Stephen and Enisco Bride. We'll speak again soon, no doubt. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A new week, a clean slate, a fresh chance for you to come on and show you've got what it takes to beat the pundit. If you can get one over on Hugh or Alex, you'll win a signed ball. All you have to do is dial 01419511025. Be warned, Hugh Keevans was bragging in the office that he's been studying particularly hard, and I'm not even kidding. I wish I was kidding. He was getting me to test him on his sort of current knowledge of what's been going on over the weekend. Will any of those questions be in it? Well, you'll have to wait and see. 01419511025. Be quick, you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. We kicked off by looking back on a busy weekend in Scottish football. Celtic and Rangers both getting the 3 points, both facing slight criticisms for certain parts of the performance. Speaking of criticism, Hearts and Hibs fans, where are you? You must have calmed down by now. We're about to hear from Craig Levein. Bottom of the table or thereabouts, miserable run of results, fans protesting outside Tynecastle. He says he doesn't fear for his job. Hibs fans, the pressure's on Paul Heckenbottom as well, I'm sure. So let's hear from you. Where's it all going wrong for your team? How does it set you up for the derby next week? 01419511025. Let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Producer Andy rocked up at my desk the other day with 6 balls to be signed. That's how many you lot have been giving away recently. He had a bit of a backlog. He has now cleared it. So if you're waiting on a signed ball arriving, it will be on the way. Will we be sending another one tonight? Let's find out. Hugh and Alex are ready, and one of them is going to be up against John from Bishop Briggs. Hi, John.
Hi, panel. How's things?
Not too bad at all, John. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you have some fear struck into you there when I told you that Hugh Keevans has been bragging about how much he's been studying this weekend?
Not at all. I'm confident.
Good. I like that. I like your confidence. Well, seeing that Lady Keevans is away, and that's why you've got time to study.
See, in fairness, I must clarify. I said to Gordon Duncan, ask me any goal scorer from any game in the Premiership and I'll tell you. And he said, right, who scored Motherwell's third goal? And I told him. And who scored St Mirren's goal?
It was the speed. He should have held him. He was rhyming them off. Unfortunately for him, none of them are in the questions. But before we get on to that, forget Beat the Pundit. It's your last night alone.
Yeah.
You had the Haggis Pecora on Friday. Everything okay for tonight?
Tonight is meal for one time. Spaghetti carbonara.
Microwavable?
No. I told you I'm not allowed to touch anything that's plugged in when Lady Keevans is away. So it's 30.
How do you heat it up then?
35 minutes in the oven, it says on the packet.
It's a ready meal though. That's what I mean. You're not cooking it or preparing it from scratch.
I'm definitely not allowed to cook. No.
Is everything tidy? Because you will be in trouble if not, I suspect.
Well, producer Andy reminded me of one thing that I must do first thing in the morning, but I'll keep that to myself.
Right, okay. John, enough about that. Back to Beat the Pundit. Head jar up against Hugh Carbonara Keevans, and tails it will be Alex Ray. I've got 5 pence tonight. I'm slumming it. It is tails. It's Alex Ray. So all that studying's gone to waste for Hugh. It's John against Alex. John, I'm going to give Alex some Clyde 2 to listen to. That way he can't hear us. And we'll get your clock up and running. 30 seconds, John. Head to head with Alex. Remember, you can pass, all right?
Aye.
Good man. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Who's the manager of Falkirk?
Pass.
Who does Celtic face in the Europa League this Thursday?
Rennies.
Who won the Scottish Cup in 2015?
Hibs.
Who was the Rangers captain immediately before James Tavernier?
Pass.
Which former Celtic player has rejoined the club to coach the under-18s?
Darnell Day.
Who is currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
What is the name of Dunfermline Stadium?
Pass.
Hearts' Ryotaro Machino is on loan from which English team?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Alex Ray back. Alex, have you got us?
I have, yes.
You have, alright. Same set of questions to you. If I can get my paper in the right order. Your time starts now. Who is the manager of Falkirk?
Ray McKinnon.
Which team does Celtic face in the Europa League this Thursday? Who won the Scottish Cup in 2015?
Kilmarnock.
Who was the Rangers captain immediately before James Tavernier?
McGregor.
Which former Celtic player has rejoined the club to coach the under-18s?
That's O'Dea.
Who's currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
What is the name of Dunfermline Stadium?
East End Park.
Okay. John, what do you think of the competition?
Close. I think
maybe just tipped as he won.
I think it was. That was desperate. Ray McKinnon, I played with him at Scotland when I was a boy.
Well, you got it. It just took you a while. Fortunately for you, John didn't though. So first one was Ray McKinnon, the manager of Falkirk, 1-0 to Alex. Which team does Celtic face in the Europa League this Thursday? You both got it right. It's Rennes. I think John went for a more Bishop Briggs pronunciation in Rennies, which is sort of like the heartburn stuff. But that's all right.
We need a Monday morning
that's
after
okay.
a session.
I'll let you away with it. So it's 2-1 to Alex Ray. Who won the Scottish Cup in 2015? It was Inverness. Oof. Remember that game? You and I were there together. Yes. I seem to remember.
They beat Falkirk, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, they did. Still 2-1, Alex. Who is the Rangers captain immediately before James Tavernier? Lee Wallace.
I would never have got that.
Come on.
I actually said McGregor, he wasn't even there.
Dearie me. Anyway, still 2-1. So there's a chance, John. There is a chance. And you knew that Darren O'Dea had come back to coach the under-18s at Celtic. Unfortunately for you, so did Alex. So it's 3-2. Who's bottom of the Premiership? It's Hearts. You both knew it. So Alex stays one in front. And what is the name of Dunfermline Stadium? It is East End Park. Alex stretches his lead, John. Even if you had got the last one, Ryotaro Machino is on loan to Hearts from
Man City.
It's Man City. But Alex didn't get that far. He didn't need to. 5 on the board compared to your 3, John. I'm afraid the sign ball stays
bad,
here.
John.
Hard lines, John.
I'm no bother. Next time, better luck next time. But we're getting worried, boys, one day anyway.
Good stuff. That was John in Bishop Briggs. Same time tomorrow for Beat the Pundit. There we go. All of Hugh Keevan studying this weekend. Out
go
the
on, Alex. Ask me any goal. Any goal. Go on.
Who scored the first goal for Ross County?
He's forgot. He's got stage fright.
No, I've got it.
I'll help you out, will I?
That's where we are.
Ross Stewart.
We were talking about the break.
There you go. And I didn't do any particular studying, but you panicked there. I've never seen that happen to you before. Because in the office earlier, you were rhyming them off like nobody's business. Pressure got to you.
Why'd you ask me that one?
Pressure got to you. Capital punishment, I think we'll call this next section. So if you are a Hearts fan or you're a Hibs fan, or you're an interested spectator and you want to have your moment of fun and mock Hearts or Hibs at the moment, that's okay as well. 0141 951 1025. What is going on in the capital? Let's hear from you. Craig Levine says his position is not untenable. That's despite losing to Motherwell at the weekend. Now, you may have seen the videos. If you haven't, you can go to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB and you can see a video of the Hearts fans protesting, gathering outside Tynecastle after the game. And Hugh Keevan's things just seem to be mounting.
Gordon, a terrific photograph in one newspaper this morning of the protesters outside. Now, I, let it be said, agree that people are entitled to protest. They are not entitled to storm the door, as some tried to do and had to be restrained by police and stewards. That's not on. But people are entitled to stand and protest. That's an everyday entitlement in British life. And the photograph showed a lady who, let me put it this way, she'll be able to travel on the buses for free. And she's holding the banner, Levine out, along with a child who did not look to me as if he was of secondary school age. So there you have the Heart supporter base. It's from childhood to mature adulthood. And they are deeply upset. And I think what Craig Levine said about being 6 points off fourth place was a daft remark to make, given that he has only won 3 points in his last 13 games, I think.
13, is it? I found it astonishing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you hear from it, just in case people haven't heard it. That makes sense, doesn't it, to let you hear the comments that you're talking about. So Craig Levine asked specifically, directly, if he, you know, he fears for his job, so to speak. Here's what he had to say.
No, I don't. I feel that I'm more than capable of improving the results. I mean, the season's just started. We're 6 points off fourth place. I don't consider that to be a huge problem for us.
Hearts fans, what do you make of that when you hear Craig Levine say those things? Do you admire his confidence? Do you admire his resolve? Or are you frustrated that he doesn't share your opinion that things are not looking good? 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you.
Well, you know, it's a daft thing for Craig to say. They haven't won a league game since last March. They are bottom of the league table. They are playing a brand of football that does not appeal to the supporters, and they have now decided they've had enough of Craig Levein. If he wins on Sunday in the Edinburgh Derby at Easter Road, it might buy him time, but it won't solve the problem in general.
Yeah, I think it would give them a bit, as you say, give them a bit of leeway in terms of the importance of getting a derby win here. And then they have Aberdeen in the League Cup, so if they to progress there, then it starts to get something going in the right direction. I was speaking to Berra today, another programme, Christoph Berra, and trying to read between the lines. His body language was very flat, as you would imagine. And the thing is how are they going to lift that group of players? Because the run that they're on, and to suggest they're only 6 points off of fourth place when it's only got 2 points off the first five games, it could take them an eternity in this current form.
Hibs, we had some very unhappy Hibs fans as well a couple of weeks ago. Now things have got even worse because you lost again at the weekend. So Hibs and Hearts, unfortunately, will lump you together because you're both struggling. You've got a derby coming up. Let's hear from you. 01419511025 right now. Here's more from Craig Levein.
It's just part of the job, you know. And as I've spoken about this in the last week to 10 days about how the supporters get frustrated that their team at home should be winning, that our supporters expect us to win all our games at home. And I understand that level of expectation. My focus is just on the game. I don't try to listen to anything else. And I don't think it's helpful. It doesn't help me anyway to be able to think about the game if I'm trying to pick up what people are saying around about me.
I mean, Hugh, I saw a league table today. I think it was on the BBC website. Not quite a full year, but almost. I think it went back to about
33
October.
33 games, I think it is.
Four wins.
And Hearts were bottom. They were bottom of the table within the last year. Celtic top, as you would expect. Rangers just behind. So it's quite accurate in terms of the general spread of points that you would expect. But, you know, Hearts were bottom by 28 points since the end of October last year.
Yeah, simply not good enough. The problem that Anne Budge has is that, yes, she's done an awful lot at personal cost to bring Hearts back from the brink. But at the same time, it would be dereliction of duty if she was not looking at the managerial position and wondering what can be done here, because the foundation of Hearts, the supporters, put part of their wages, part of the money that they work for every week, into Hearts. And they are not happy, and they are entitled to be listened to.
Gordon, I seen that chart that you're talking about. I actually don't like the fact that you take a half a season there and then put it on to five. And I get the point that the form's not been great, but for me, it's always the start of the season to the end of the season.
It's pretty simple why they do it, though, because it takes away this argument which people will often use to wriggle out it's only five games into the season. Because of course, if that is your sole criteria, of course five games into a season would be early to change a manager. But you have to look at the bigger picture, surely.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is the bigger picture for me is when I see them sitting fifth in top of the league and then getting to a cup final last year, I take on board. But then you're getting a new flux of players coming in as well, so things are changing. I'm not trying to defend where he is this year, but I don't quite get this from last October to then, because it was 51 points he got last year. Now the actual reality is
you're looking for a bigger sample. That's all it is. You're trying to say, is there progression in an upwards trajectory? Are we moving in the right direction, or are we moving in the wrong direction? That's why people do it. I don't think they do it to be manipulative of figures.
When Alec and I were going
or...
up the road on Saturday after the programme, and we're talking about the Hearts and Hibs situation, and I got a text message from the Hibby in the family, and his point was that it doesn't matter, the derby doesn't matter at the weekend. Both clubs have got to consider what is for the greater good of Hibs and Hearts. It's not about who wins the derby, or it shouldn't be about who wins the derby. It's about the long term.
Yeah, well, most of the Hibs and Hearts fans are actually getting in touch on Twitter. Boring Daniel Farmer says, as a Hibs season ticket holder, I am dreading the derby. Whoever loses will likely lose their job. At the moment, I'm afraid to say, it seems Heckingbottom will be first to go. I hope I'm wrong. There's another one here. Not too complimentary about Craig Levein. It says a manager with class knows when it's time to go. Don't hold your breath with Levein. So there's not a lot of love out there for Craig Levein or Paul Heckingbottom at the moment. Let's go back to the phones. 01419511025. Oh, when the caller's just disappeared, that's not particularly helpful, but we will get back to it. Is it going to be?
I think it'll be a draw this weekend, Gordon. I'll tell you the reason being is because I don't see,
because they're both rubbish and it's going to finish
0-0. I genuinely think it's going to be a draw.
As I say, I'll be as interested as anyone to watch the game and see what happens. However, it's not about who wins the Edinburgh Derby on Sunday. It's about where both clubs go from here. It's, as I said, we have a boom or bust mentality in Scotland. But it's not enough to win the Derby and say, oh, well, that's great, everything's okay again. No, it's not.
I really like this other tweet that came in, Hugh Keevans in particular, because someone has not been listening to you recently, which is fine. Who was the original tweeter? SMFCTID says it's a disgrace that there are it's a disgrace that there are three plastic pitches in the SPFL. But someone else tweeted to say that I can't believe no one's mentioned it, and little do they know that you won't shut up about it.
Yeah, and I've already said tonight about Celtic playing on the concrete flooring at the weekend,
which is harsh. Hamilton fans won't be happy. Well, there you are. Rob Smith says, when is someone going to mention these horrible pitches? Hugh never shuts up about it. Yeah. I wish you would shut up about it. I'm only kidding.
Well, as I say, I think it's sad, I'll use that word, sad, that one quarter of our pitches in our major league, featuring our flagship competition, one quarter of our pitches are
AstroTurf.
AstroTurf.
There you go, Rob. He mentions it. He definitely mentions it. It's 01419511025, and we're going to get the full time teaser. It's difficult, so you're only looking for five answers tonight.
Ooh.
And it's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. We're about to take some more calls on 01419511025, but it's time for the full time teaser. That's when you send in the questions, we read them out, and invariably the pundits fail to come up with all the right answers.
Correct.
That sound familiar? Okay. If you've got a good question and you want to hear it on the show, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where it goes. Send it in and I will gladly read it out. So this one has been sent in tonight by Graham Swanson. And Graham says, as we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to lose his top flight job in each of the last five seasons?
Dubs last year.
No.
Kenny Miller.
Yes.
That's a good question, isn't it?
It's a bit different, so you're going to have to really think about it. So Graham says, as we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to lose his top flight job in each of the last five seasons? So you've got the one from last season.
Lee McCulloch.
Last season's was Kenny Miller. What about the season before?
Listen, I've got Lee McCulloch in my mind somewhere. I don't know if it was like the season before or the season before.
No, you're not too far off, but it's not Lee McCulloch.
Ooh. Did he take over?
Hugh, you just look bamboozled, if you don't mind me saying.
Lee McCulloch. This is my thinking face.
He's a coach who...
So the 18-19 season was Kenny Miller.
Yes.
Now the 17-18 season was... Well, I'll tell you what, you've got one out of five. So there's only four more to go. You can play along with us at Clyde SSB on Twitter. As we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to go from the top flight in each of the last five seasons? Kenny Miller last season. What about the season before that? The one before that? The one before that? And the one before that. Craig's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Craig.
Hi, James. How you doing?
Good, Craig. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, well, I was listening to the whole chat earlier about Rangers and Celtic, and particularly the Edouard Morelos chat that seems to have re-emerged again since the caller at the weekend. I personally think that they are both as good as each other. I think Edouard is a great player.
he scored some vital goals for Celtic, and yes, he has scored in the Old Firm derby. Morelos, you know, I think there seems to be this idea, and I don't like it at all, that somehow he doesn't score important goals. He has scored what is probably the most important goal of Rangers season so far, with that header in the last minute against Legia Warsaw. There's no doubt that that was a huge goal to get us back into Europe, and he's done that before. And not just that, you know, I don't think it's fair to say, because, you know, that if you score a goal against an Aberdeen or a Kilmarnock or a Hibernian or a Hearts or whatever, that those are wee goals. You know, Morelos has dug Rangers out a couple of times against teams like that, and got points where otherwise we weren't going to get any. And I also think he deserves a bit of credit for the way he's conducting himself so far this season, because his biggest downfall has always been his discipline. But he has stepped up to the plate thus far. He's kept his nose clean. He's not, you know, there's not even been any real incidents where you would look at it and say, oh, he was lucky he didn't get a red card there or that. He's actually, to be fair to the boy, he's done really well with his discipline this season. And I think he deserves credit for that.
Craig, this is purely and simply, I'll repeat this, purely and simply, a tribal issue.
Ah, but to be fair, I know where you're coming from, and largely it is, but this is what we're here for. I don't mind comparing players, whoever they are. What about the kind of the latter point there about the improvement discipline so far?
I don't take that away from Alfredo Morelos. However, you know, you're only complimenting him on being a proper professional. He's taken a while for the penny to drop, but yes, his discipline is better. He does score lots of goals, and those goals at the end of the season could add up to a title win. Yeah. I don't dispute that. Edouard came to Celtic for £9 million. Therefore, Celtic will be looking for considerably more than that when the day comes, and the day will come. It will probably come at the end of this season. Yep. So they are both... And, you know, Craig came very, very close to ruining my earlier argument that you'll never have a Rangers fan on here saying Edouard is better than Morelos, or a Celtic fan saying Morelos is better than Edouard. Craig came dangerously close by saying they're both good players. However, he is firmly in the Morelos camp.
Alex, what about Craig kicked off by talking about Legia Warsaw, because
there's more games than that, Gordon.
The one thing you can't argue with is that Morelos has not scored against Celtic. We know that. And I wonder if when it does happen, we'll hear... but he's only scored one against Celtic. You know, it might never go away. I don't know. But financially, and in terms of the sort of status or the reputation of being in European competition, obviously the goal against Ligue is important, amongst others.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think he scored a couple against Midtjylland as well. You go back to last season, Maribor and Rapid Vienna, I think he scored against last year. So these will add to his value. In terms of the development of these both players, Gordon, I think you're actually seeing them developing very well, you know, in terms of their all-round game. We were talking about it earlier on in terms of Morelos' contribution to that third goal. You know, some people say his link-up's not as good as what it could be, which was very impressive. And then you look at Edouard, we were raving about his touch in the first few minutes. So they are both very talented young boys, and whatever way you look at it, they're going to go for a right few quid.
Craig, do you think, because there were a lot of fans perhaps questioning what more, maybe Steven Gerrard needs to do more, maybe Rangers need to do more, when the indiscipline was an issue with Morelos last season, by all accounts there's a sort of heftier fine system in place. Could we be seeing that these things are in the early stages of working?
Oh, I think so, because I think, you know, it's not just Morelos, you know, the whole team.
Well, Jordan Jones would be the exception.
Jordan
at the
Jones
moment,
the exception. I did forget about that. My apologies. Other than Jordan Jones and his bit of stupidity, because, you know, let's be clear, that's what it was. There was absolutely no need for it at all. Other than Jordan Jones, who wasn't one of the players in Rangers squad last season anyway. Actually, the players who were there who had issues, and the players who've come in, by and large, apart from one occasion, have looked discipline-wise very good. And it can be difficult in some games, particularly when you're playing Celtic, because, you know, you look at like Scott Brown, he's a big wind-up merchant. He goes on that park looking to see how many of these players can I get sent off in a game. Now, I personally don't like that. However, there's nothing
actually wrong with him doing that. It's about being smart enough not to get caught up in it, and that's what the players have been doing so far. And, you know, I think Hugh's earlier point is right. You won't hear a Celtic fan come on and say Morelos is better than Edward, and you won't hear a Rangers fan come on and say Edward's better than Morelos. That may be why Hugh Keevans, being the Celtic fan, doesn't believe that Morelos is as good as Edward.
You see, we always get back to this. I mean, I take a lot in this programme, but I've been a journalist for 50 years and I'm entitled to better than that.
I am not saying it in a way to in any way criticise you at all.
I'm saying it. You are implying that I come on this programme and I only give an opinion based on the team that I supported in boyhood. I have been a journalist for 50 years. I deserve better than your cheap shot.
How did that work out when Celtic banned you over the years?
Well, you know, Lenny banned me. Peter Lobel banned me.
Any others?
Ken Dalglish threw me out the Celtic club in London Road.
Right.
So I will stand in my dignity and I will say to Craig, come January, I will have been a journalist for 50 years. I deserve better than your cheap shot.
Craig and Cumbernauld, thank you for the call. We'll speak again, no doubt. 01419511025. We'll revisit that teaser very soon as well. Let's speak to... Oh, sorry.
I was going to give you an answer.
All right, give me one attempt.
John Hughes.
No.
Neil McCann.
No. Close again, though. No.
Jim McIntyre.
No. Still close, but
not Paul Hartley, I meant to say.
Not close enough. You're getting worse. You're getting colder, as they say. Who's next? Dean is in Drumchapel. Hi, Dean.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Not too bad. Dean, what's your point tonight?
My point, sorry to go off topic about the Old Firm, but it was just to raise my highlight of the weekend.
Yes.
And it was Michael Doyle's goal for Falkirk.
Have you seen Michael Doyle's goal from Falkirk, Alex Ray?
No.
It is a cracker.
Oh, no.
Rifles it. I'll show you two at the next break. Rifles it into the top corner, doesn't he, Dean?
The guy has been absolutely influential for us. If we keep him in January, we are going to go up.
Dean, you should be expected to go up anyway with the personnel you've got at your disposal in that division, surely?
No, of course, but, I mean, the better players keep us a better team, and to keep him would keep us a better team.
How's it been this season, Dean? Because obviously, as Alex says, you look at the on paper, the squad. So, from the top of my head, Cammy Bell, Paul Dixon, Morgaro Gomez, Charlie Telford, Declan McManus, Connor Salmon, Ian McShane, Denny Johnson, all guys who've played in the top flight semi recently. They're now playing in League One, and with that comes its own pressure. How do you think it's been going so far?
We've had ups and downs, but The highlight of the season has been Michael Doyle so far. It's been absolutely fantastic. He's got a big presence about him. So it's Connor Salmon, mind you, but we're doing really well, and I just hope we keep it up instead of falling away.
Yeah, that's just to scratch the surface, because the more I think about it, Alex, Louis Longridge has played in the top flight recently. David McMillan, just signed from St Johnstone, has been in the top flight recently. Ross McLean from Motherwell. So the list goes on. They are overwhelming favourites for League One. They had a bit of a wobble in the last couple of weeks,
losing
the Clyde and drew at Airdrie, but over the piece, is it unthinkable that Falkirk don't get out of League One?
With that personnel, I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if they didn't make it, Gordon, because you're actually talking about guys, and for me, we talk about levels all the time. The quality they have at that level, they should canter that league.
I would have said to you, Gordon, that I would have thought it unthinkable that Falkirk would be playing the third tier of Scottish football.
Having said that, Dean, six games gone. Third place at the moment, 3 points off top. Any concerns starting to brew for you?
Not at this stage. Not
too
at
early.
This stage of the season. Everybody's entitled to a wobble. As long as we just keep progressing, it will speak for itself.
Yeah, time will tell. Well, listen, maybe we'll check in with you as the season goes on and see how that journey goes. Thank you, Dean. In Drumchapel, George is in Liverpool next up. Hi, George.
Hello, how are you?
Good, George. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, well, it's just a wee quick one, because I know you're very busy. I'm just going to turn the speaker off. There's a news article online about Jason Cummings possibly having
allegiance to switch to Australia. I know he's played for Hibs and he had a spell at Rangers, and I think he's down in Shrewsbury at the minute.
Yes.
And the article is suggesting, is he, you know, the type, you know, is he of Scotland's calibre where he could, you know, continue to redevelop himself as, you know, a potential centre forward, you know, for Scotland. I mean, I just on a similar note, I read that Steve Clarke is looking to try and get Karamoah Dembele capped for the San Marino game, so so he'll be a regular Scotland player in the future.
Now let's take
those
points.
The first point, Gordon.
Just for clarity in the second one, the Karamoah Dembele one is not that's not the case. It looks more and more likely that he's going to represent England. That seems to be his choice at the moment, and he's also been injured as well. So that's not one for us really to consider. George is right though. A newspaper article
today
saying Jason Cummings might be off to Australia.
I have to be honest. I burst out laughing when I read it because you know we're not the best. We really do lack a striker. You were waiting for Lee Griffiths to come back. But Jason Cummings has got no chance.
I would make a recommendation. If he got an invite to go and play for Australia, I would tell him to bite the hand off it, because for me, he has not got the quality to represent Scotland and make them better.
Even though we're so desperate in that area of the field, apparently.
He has been a nomad. He has been travelling about all over the place, Gordon. He hasn't really kind of set the heather on fire. In the actual reality, he's now plying his trade in League One, which is the third tier of English football. And he has a long way to go to convince me. So if he gets a chance to go to Australia, I'd recommend it.
It's not necessarily the third tier of English football, because, you know, we've got Charlie McGrew and we've got David Marshall at Wigan. But he's not good enough. Bottom line.
Simple as that, says Hugh Keevans. Paul Mack is on. He says, surely young Hugh Keevans hasn't been in journalism for 50 years. With his useful looks, it seems like only yesterday he entered the profession, and a damned fine job he does too.
5th of January 1970, I clocked on for work.
Another Hugh, your namesake, Weeshug, at Weeshug is on Twitter. He says, Jason Cummings would be no great loss to Scotland. Simple as that. George in Liverpool, we thank you for the call. And let's check in on the teaser tonight. So, sent in by Graham, as we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to lose his top flight job in each of the last five? So, last season it was Kenny Miller.
Archibald?
No, the season before. Who would be the first manager to go?
Pedro?
No.
Cathro?
Yes, Ian Cathro. How could we forget?
Oh.
Many a debate had about Ian Cathro. Why are you showing me the paper rather than just telling me what the answer is? It's not a secret.
I had five. I felt as if we're pretty good. So Cathro last year.
Uh huh.
Right, okay. So we're going back 3 years ago now. I'm just trying to think. Who would Dundee United have went down that year? Was that a year before?
Doesn't necessarily mean they went down. Remember, I know what you're thinking. Who was struggling? So who got rid of their manager? But I'll tell you that.
What about a boy Barraclough at Motherwell?
Yes, that is outstanding. Because no offence, you're not usually the best at the teaser. But you've missed one out in terms of chronology. But you're right. So Ian Barraclough is one. Two to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
We're on the home stretch into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here, and they're tackling tonight's full-time teaser. Now, the address you need to send a question in and hear it on the show is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com, just as Graham did tonight. He says, as we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to lose his top flight job in each of the last five seasons? So this is a bit different. You actually have to think about the dates as well. So last season, Kenny Miller. You've got it. The season before, Ian Cathro. You've got it. You don't have the one from
3 years ago,
the 16-17 season.
Is it Tommy Craig?
It is not. You do though have Ian Barraclough from the 15-16 season, which means you've got two to get.
Derek Adams.
Oh, I can't believe this is the teaser which you come into your own, because you usually struggle on a Monday night.
I'm part of the
and
club.
And you are. There's got to be a joke in there about managers getting sacked being your specialist subject, but I thought I'd stay away from it. Then one they will do.
By all means, get the bat out.
So you've only got one more to get. I can't believe this.
Gary Teal?
No. Oh, the magic's wearing off.
Have we got the right club?
No.
Wow.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
It's not a huge clue. The club you're looking for have already been mentioned in one of these answers.
Okay.
So I should narrow it down. It's only four.
Gary Locke?
No. All right, we'll get back to it because there's plenty of time. Let's speak to Jerry in Bothwell. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing? Good evening, guys. I was listening to the game on Saturday because I was at work, and Celtic were 1-0 up, and Hugh kept saying it's going to be a very Hugh the Celtic supporter. It's betwixt in between, and I agree with him because if we only 1-0 up, the other teams you just got up and actually lost. Well, you know, lost the game. You're losing 2 points. And I agree with you.
So were you expecting a bit more? Is that what you're saying, Jerry?
Sorry?
You were expecting a bit more from Celtic at the weekend?
I was expecting, but then again, you've got to take into consideration the plastic pitch. I know Hamilton Accies, Kilmarnock, Livingston playing it, but to other guys, I don't think plastic pitches should be used in top flight football.
What I'd say, Jerry, is that, and I said this as soon as the programme started on Saturday, Celtic, prior to kick-off, had won their last four games at Hamilton Accies ground, scoring 12 goals. In other words, an average of 3 per game. And I said, I fancy Celtic to do the same today. I just thought that the performance, particularly second half, was flat.
So presumably the pitch wasn't an obstacle on those occasions.
Correct. I just thought Celtic's performance, having started at lightning speed, the performance second half was flat. And James Forrest,
sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm not sure that's the case. You know, the Celtic are obliged to win every game in the league if they can. Their priority is what's happening on the day. They just didn't play very well. They blew Hamilton Accies off the park in the first half, but there was a severe lack of chance making. Loads and loads of possession, no chances. James Forrest scored a goal, hit the bar, and that, for the afternoon, was that.
The magic thing about the 1-0 result, Alec, it always gives the, obviously, and I'm stating the obvious here, just allows that belief to foster within Hamilton Accies or whoever it may be. If James Forrest had come down off the bar and bounced, I don't know, 6 inches further back, and it's in, the game is undeniably dead. It's completely killed, and it takes a completely different complexion. But what it allows Hamilton to do is get a bit more belief in what they're doing, and confidence, and think, well, you know what, maybe we can be a bit more adventurous and try and
absolutely
get something back.
It's just natural for teams like Hamilton, the smaller teams playing against one of the bigger clubs. They are looking to try and kind of stay in the game as long as possible, then throw caution to the wind. Because at the end of the day, Gordon, if it's 2 or 3, as you rightly said, no one will think it's a big deal. It's a free hit for Hamilton, and you know they tried to have a couple of little forays, but in the grand scale of things, they never even tried the Fraser Forster at all.
Jerry, looking forward, what are you thinking about Europe on Thursday and Rennes away?
Rennes, they're a good team. I would be happy. I'm happy that it's an away game first, because I always like going away, then bringing them back to Celtic Park, the atmosphere, etc. I'd be happy to come back to Rennes with a draw, but I'd be over the moon if we come back with an away goal.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, they're second in the French league at the moment, just tucked in behind PSG. They've got some outstanding young players. It's clearly going to be a difficult evening, but that's the whole point. It's European competition. You don't get into the group stages, you don't get easy nights when you get to this stage.
We're into the group stage, therefore the away goal doesn't matter. It's the result that matters.
I mean, they were held to a 0-0 draw on Saturday night. So
I mean, I'm not saying it's mission impossible. I'm simply saying that, to my way of thinking, the night will be more about defending than attacking. Perhaps, though, Edouard, Hicham, Julien, all French, they would want to go there and impress their fellow countrymen with what they can do in a Celtic jersey. I just think it's a... I'm not sure it's the most favourable start for Celtic to be playing Rennes away. I think if they get a draw, that's a good night's work.
Eamon is on Twitter. Thank you to Jerry and Bothwell. Eamon's looking back on Kilmarnock's performance. He says it was a solid performance from Alessio's Killie. Something that isn't given enough credit is how excellent all his signings have been. Del Fabbro, a class act. Hamalainen, slotted seamlessly. El Macrini, goal scorer and man of the match. And Brunescu, the goalkeeper, hasn't made a single mistake.
Four clean sheets in a row. He has held his nerve, Angelo Alessio. After the result against the Nomads, a Welsh part-time team, it could all have gone horribly wrong. And many people were predicting it would go horribly wrong and that he had lost the dressing room and all the rest of it. He has brought in the players that he wants. Kilmarnock have backed him. The crowd are now behind him. So I give him 10 out of 10 for nerve.
Yeah, they've responded very well. 7 points out of the last nine, Gordon, and also through in the cup. So, you know, it takes some doing.
Yeah, I'm very happy for my team, for the squad. And I want to say... thanks my my staff, but everybody work around the team, because I think in the last month we work every day hard, and the result I think at the end of the game we deserve this result, this win.
In terms of a quick whistle-stop tour of the other talking points from the weekend, I mean, the focus from the Tynecastle game, Hugh, goes on Hearts, it goes on Craig Levein, it goes on the protesters, but it goes back to what we said earlier on. We do always focus on when a big team's in turmoil. How can you ignore what Motherwell are doing at the moment?
Yeah, I think Motherwell should be afraid, because if they win on Saturday, they will, albeit for 24 hours, go second top. And Stephen Robinson continues to do a magnificent job. If I were a Motherwell fan, I'd be worried that Hearts or Hibs might try and take him.
Oh, there we go. Just put
down
on the show, yeah, absolutely. The only other moment of sort of, it was controversy. Jim Goodwin not happy. Felt like St Mirren's goal that they had ruled out was unfair.
Yeah, he has
Would
a point as well. Yeah,
it?
Absolutely. It was very, very tight. He was probably in line, so I was harshly done. And in the manner they lost the game in the 92nd minute, it's a body blow for something.
Okay. Right, I think we need to turn our attentions back to the full-time teaser, because, well, time is up pretty much. As we await the first Premiership managerial casualty of the season, can you name the first manager to lose his job in the top flight in each of the last five seasons? Last season, it was Kenny Miller. To the one before that, it was Ian Cathro. You've missed one. Then it was Ian Barraclough. Before that it was Derek Adams. You've got one more to get. Now the response on Twitter has been pretty good. Well, I say good, they're close, but not close enough. Pro Eddie Lucian says Owen Coyle, which is wrong. Celtic Boy says Ronnie Dyler, which is wrong. Any more?
No, I don't Coyle. I thought it was a stick on. I thought Owen had about 9 or 10 games in one season. But
well, I said it was the same as one of the clubs that's already been mentioned.
So we said Ross County, Hearts. Hearts?
Yes.
So
when I say lose his job, he might just you know, not to say he got sacked, but it's the first managerial casualty left, I think. But, or did he? Initials time.
Uh-huh.
R.N. Robbie Nielsen. Robbie Nielsen.
Oh,
there we go. Okay, thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex.
We
are back tomorrow night on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.